What is going on? This is the only 3 to 5 to 7 minute podcast in the land that covers the sport of NASCAR. I am your host, Mr. Brian Timothy Donald, and alongside me is the man himself, Mr. Adam Cheek. And Adam, no time for pleasantries. Let's just get right to it. This race at Martinsville Saturday night was terrible. It was god-awful. It was disastrous. It was hot garbage, whatever you want to say. Whether it was garbage or disastrous, I don't know, but the end consensus was it was not good. And I think just the first one was just why. I mean, we've seen races that have been very, very cold at Martinsville before. It was in the 40s, and they still have had good racing. So don't tell me it was the weather. The car, maybe? Was it the tires? Just why was this race just so damn bad?
I have no idea. I'm at a loss. I think everyone's at a loss. People have thrown stuff out there. They said maybe it was too cold for rubber to build up or something like that. Who knows? But yeah, Saturday was bad. It didn't help that things got pushed back by inclement weather. Things just never got going in the way you expect Martinsville to go. You expect, we talked about this going into the weekend. We said we thought there was going to be a lot of contact, like with composite bodies. Things were going to be some really close racing. There was going to be a lot of close quarters, beating and banging, maybe some flared tempers. We got none of that. And I am at a loss as to why. Maybe it's just trying to adjust to the short track with this car. We saw, you know, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, all guys that have won at Martinsville in the past, and Gibbs, where we thought they were finding their footing with this next-gen car after last week. They all seemed to kind of struggle. Hamlin was one of the two cautions. Not for instant. There were zero passes for the lead under green flag conditions on the track. On pit road was a different story. I don't know. And it's frustrating. And I don't think we've been at a loss as to why a race was this bad in a very long time.
Yeah, 15 cautions last year in each race. For instance, there was 5, I think, and 2 of them were for stalled cars, and 3 of them, well, 2 of them were for stage brakes. It was not good. I mean, we couldn't see rubber buildup because it was how cold. People have said that, Jeff Gordon even said that Goodyear brought too good of a tire here that they couldn't have any fall off. I mean, last year at Martinsville, they had a full second off the lap times when the tires got worse and worse as the run went along. So very disappointing. No green flag passes for the lead the entire race. And that's very disappointing because I think the general consensus is of more short tracks is why do you want them now because of this? And that's, it's disappointing, and I think it's more of the car than anything. But I mean, I don't know how you fix this because you got a car part shortage. I don't know what the solution is. Is it a different tire? Is it, do you go to Martinsville in the springtime at a different time? Do you switch it to an afternoon race? I don't know. Where do they go from here?
I don't know that either, and I know we'll touch on some of Denny Hamlin's comments after the race in a minute, but the thing that got to me is we went into this being like, okay, we're going to get our first look at short tracks. It was night and day, you know, I guess literally on some level, but between Richmond and Martinsville. Martinsville last week, or Richmond last week, you know, it wasn't the best race. There wasn't a ton of on-track action in terms of, like, trading paint. But it was interesting in terms of strategy, and there was a lot of passing, and the lead had its little evolution between Blaney and Byron and Truex for a bit, and then eventually Denny Hamlin. This was like, oh, it's the Hendricks show. It's just Byron and Chase. I'm at a loss. I don't know where we go from here. I know we'll talk about what was referenced on the teardown with Jordan Bianchi and Jeff Gluck in just a second. But I think one of the things that they highlight is most of our memories of Martinsville and the excitement that comes from Martinsville comes from the fall with the playoff implications and tempers and everything. But the spring race is never like as god awful as it was on Saturday night. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Now, for those that don't know, sometimes I give Adam homework on what to listen to, what to. You know what? About half the time he does it, half the time he doesn't, which is okay. Most of the homework I assign him is not the most importance. But I really harped on him to listen to the Teardown with Jeff Gluck, Jordan Bianchi, and they had some really interesting comments. And first of all, I'm glad Adam listened to it because he is going to provide some insight that it was not reported anywhere in articles that were written in the past 24 hours. But Denny Hamlin spoke with Jordan Bianchi and Dustin Long from NBC Sports, and he said, I'm paraphrasing from what Jordan said in his podcast, that if they come back into the fall and they've changed nothing, all they are going to do during practice is get ready for qualifying, because all you need to do is be up front and then get a good pit selection, get four pit stops, because that's all you really need to do. And that's how William Byron got the lead on Saturday night. And that's how Chase Elliott lost it. And that's all she wrote. If I'm a NASCAR fan, and if I'm a NASCAR, or if I'm a NASCAR executive, and I heard those comments from a driver to a reporter from the reporter's podcast, Adam, I'd be very, very concerned.
Well, yeah, and one of the things Jeff Gluck said is he's glad that Bristol Dirt is next, because if we were going to Bristol short track, we'd be going into it with a lot of maybe apathy, maybe animosity, some mix of those two emotions. And the other thing Denny Hamlin said is basically, I don't know if we can fix this. Coming from a driver, that's not a good thing.
That's really, really bad coming from one of the most vocal drivers in the entire garage area, if not the vocal. Him, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, those are probably the three most vocal people in the garage.
No, and Denny's been through evolutions of the Cup Series car at Martinsville. He's won, what, 5-6 races at the Paperclip. He was dominant around the turn of the 2010s, where things kind of started to switch between the car of tomorrow with the wing, to the car of tomorrow with the spoiler, to the car of tomorrow with the spoiler and the closed off splitter instead of the metal bars along the splitter, and then into the Gen 6 where he won a Martinsville once, and now into the next gen. Coming from a driver, that's not good, but if there's a bright side to any of this, it's that we have since Bristol's a dirt track, that doesn't really count in my book as a paved short track, obviously. We have, what, like 6 months before we go back to Martinsville? And I'm not going to throw Richmond in there, because Richmond was entertaining on some level on its own. So we have 4 months till we go there, and then like 6 months before we go back to Martinsville. We have some time to work on this, if nothing else, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's just like he said it himself, the answer. They don't really, with the part shortage, they can't really do anything. And that's even more concerning because in Dustin's article, the one he wrote, he said, we should be preparing for next year's races already this year, so we don't have to avoid the part shortage saga dilemma in the future. And I think I totally agree with that. And it's just, I think everything just got built up to Saturday night and all the components. It's just like when somebody is on the verge of having like a meltdown and everything is getting built up and built up and built up, and then it explodes. I think that's what happened. With that being said, I hope something changes. I hope a part shortage doesn't continue. I don't know though, and it's very sad because short track racing is awesome, Adam. I mean, we see it all over the globe, especially in the small cities. I mean, look at, you got small tracks like Bowman Gray and you had Myrtle Beach before it closed down and everything. But I mean, those tracks were awesome, and it just sucks because having something like short track racing be terrible is just big bummer. It truly is. But we'll see what happens. For more on this, check out all the latest on frontstretch.com. But final thing here, Adam, before we let you go, we got to talk about the fight in which,
yes,
I don't think we saw ever Bleacher Report or Pat McAfee tweet about an Xfinity race, but that's what happens when you get two 20-year-olds literally throwing right hands at each other after the race at a paperclip called Martinsville. And that's what Ty Gibbs and Sam Mayer did. Unfortunately for Sam Mayer, he was on the end of a future black eye because he got a big old black eye after that, in which it was, I was shocked at it. And Adam, let's just go through it all. Friday night, after a little bit of delay, green flag goes, Ty Gibbs leads, caution comes out. He does not slow down, immediately gets called to the NASCAR hauler after the race. So we thought, okay, that's fine. Come back with about three laps to go or something. You got Ty Gibbs, Sam Mayer, Brandon Jones, all battling it out. Sam Mayer, Ty Gibbs get together. Brandon Jones sneaks away. Brandon Jones eventually gets a win. After that, though, Ty Gibbs retaliates after the checkered flag waves, bumps him into turn one, then continues to bump him out of or into pit road. Then comes the fight. Ty Gibbs comes out, helmet still on. Sam Mayer takes his helmet off. Sam Mayer goes up to Ty Gibbs, calls him a jackass for not having his helmet off. Gibbs takes offense to that, couple right hands, all hell breaks loose. I don't have a problem with the fight. I love it. What I have a problem with is him retaliating with his car. If you want, and, well, I got one more other thing after that, but if you want to have a fight about it with your fists, not with hard work by crew members of your own team who spent blood, sweat, and tears with that, with their time and resources. And, for the love of God, dude, take your damn helmet off. I mean, be a man. I know you're 20 years old, dude, but come on, dude. Take your damn helmet off. God. Okay. Got my gripe out of the way, Adam. Your initial thoughts, what should the repercussions be, and just overall your thoughts?
Oh, first, take your damn helmet off. I think we're on the same wavelength there, but you took us through what happened, and I think the biggest thing that I noticed outside of the helmet is and the retaliating with the car, which just puts more work on the guys at the shop, is when they get out of their cars, Gibbs walks up to Sam Mayer, says something to him. Mayer says something back as he's starting to take his helmet off. Gibbs kind of gives him a jab in the ribs. Didn't look like a punch. It was just kind of more like a shove. And it's not super visible, but you can tell what happens. And then Gibbs, I don't know, maybe immediately realizes, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Starts walking away. And this was after, to get to Mayer, he kind of shoved aside an official to do so, which is not good. So the slowing down deal, shoving an official, and fighting, three not good things back to back to back. And then Mayer goes back up to him, they exchange words, and then they exchange fists. And like you said, I have no problem with the fight. We see it, you know, once, maybe twice a year. Last year was Daniel Hemric and Noah Gragson. And we see it a couple of times a year. It's gonna happen. It happens in football and baseball and hockey more so, but you know, it happens in every sport. But just the fact that this is short track racing, Gibbs has done the same thing to other guys before in ARCA and in Xfinity. And the moment it happens to him, he decides to lash out. You got to expect it to happen to you, especially at a short track like Martinsville. That's part of this track's identity. The truck and cup, the races from this past weekend would beg to differ in terms of how dull they were, but it's going to happen. It's just hard racing. Everyone was tired at that point. There had been a red flag. Everything had broken loose already, and then all hell breaks loose again. It's something that I think is a good learning experience for both of them. They're both young. They're both going to learn from this. But especially Gibbs, after the way the last couple of weeks have gone, having his scraps with a couple other drivers, it's going to happen to him as he does to other people. And it's something you got to live with in NASCAR. I think that's all I got. It's gonna, these fights are gonna happen. I have no problem with that happening, but take your helmet off, man.
There's one thing that we learned, or that you guys should have learned from this podcast, is if you are ever in a fight and you are wearing a helmet before it, take the damn helmet off.
That's the big thing, and that's a big thing everyone was talking about on Twitter. I think it feels like Ty Gibbs is like Kyle Busch 2.0 in terms of already dividing the fan base very early on in his career. And that's good for the sport. I have no problem with personalities, you know, doing personality and doing that to a fan base, because that's how you get attention. But the way Gibbs has gone about it isn't the best thus far.
Really fast, in 10 seconds or less, how big of a penalty does Ty Gibbs get on Tuesday? Adam, go.
Ooh, okay, 10 seconds. Let's see. I think he'll get fined and fine money and points. I don't think he'll get suspended for a race, even though that feels more appropriate.
Bingo. Exactly how I feel. That's the kind of analysis you get on Stock Car Scoop. Short, sweet, to the point. With that being said, more so, if you want in-depth articles, check out frontstretches.com. Got all the latest in the paper clip with our good friend, Davey Siegel, and more, frontstretch.com. Adam, it's always a pleasure going dirt racing and We'll talk about if the dirt race should continue on the schedule for 2023 and beyond. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on Thursday, my friend.
Yes, sir. Bristol never disappoints on one level or another, and we're not dreading it because if it's a paved race like we would on the heels of Martinsville if it was. So looking forward to that.
For Adam Cheek and everybody associated with the front stretch, I am Brian Olin. Have a great week. Talk with you Thursday to preview the only dirt race of the 2022 season.